Inside your bulletin is a responsive reading, if you want to get it out and join me in reading our scripture this morning. It's from Luke 6, 17 through 26. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured. And the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who will weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil, because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in the day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how our ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry, and woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets."
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I first had to preach on this text, I went around and I asked some people a question. I asked them if they could name any speech, any group of words, sermon, that were game changers, either to them personally or to the world, some kind of sermon or speech or big moment that really changed the world. And right away, there were quick answers. People had a lot of speeches that they cited. They said, you know, words like, "Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." And we remember JFK saying that. They said, "Well, what about, we have nothing to fear but fear itself?" Yeah, that's a good one. What about when McDonald's announced that it was going to have breakfast all day? That was a big one. That was a big one. And the discussions began and went on and on. And those were great words, great speeches, and we remember them. I might be the only one who remembers the McDonald's announcement, but, you know, we know those iconic speeches. Some are, we even memorize. In Swickley, every year for the Memorial Day celebration, the kids are, they have a contest, and they memorize the Gettysburg Address, and there's a contest to see which girl or guy can do it the best, and they get to do it at the big celebration that they have on Memorial Day. We probably had to memorize speeches for high school. I can still remember having to memorize a big quote from Hamlet that I could do for you, but it's long and depressing, so I won't do it now, but I still can do it. But how many of these words, how many of these great speeches have really made a difference? How many of them were game changers, life changers? Now, many agree that Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech was a game changer. It became the rallying cry for the civil rights movement, and it's hard to argue with that. And then another speech that's often cited as having great impact is Patrick Henry's Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech. And that's because when this was said at the Second Virginia Convention, it really changed and, in fact, caused the colonists to join in the revolution. Before that, a lot of people were on the fence. Most people were thinking, well, what do we have against the British? You know, why? But when he gave that speech, everyone was swayed over. And also, in that audience, when Patrick Henry said that, there was a young George Washington and there was a young Thomas Jefferson, and they were inspired by his words. But really, when you think about it, there aren't too many speeches, too many words that have made a worldwide or even a nationwide impact. Some are great, many are powerful. Every Sunday we hear a great one here from Pastor Tim. But a global impact, not a lot, compared to all the words that are ever spoken. Let's look closely at these words that Jesus speaks today in the Sermon on the Plain. And they sound familiar, don't they? We've heard these "blessed are you" statements before. We've mentioned them, and we call them the Beatitudes. But the Beatitudes that we know are the ones found in Matthew's Gospel. And they're called the Sermon on the Mount. You know them as, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will have mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets before you." But these words in Luke's gospel, they're similar. They're the blesseds. But there are some big differences. Where Matthew says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," Luke says, "Blessed are the poor." Up on the mount in Matthew, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." But down on the plain, Jesus says, "Blessed are the hungry." And probably one of the biggest differences, there are no woes in Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. Now, you know, as we've talked about these hard sayings of Jesus over the summer, these aren't the sayings that are going to be cross-stitched on a wall. And you're not going to find on a wall cross-stitched, "Woe to you who are rich, for you've received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry." Jesus isn't really talking about spiritual elements here. Not here. And he isn't talking about how to conduct oneself in order to get a blessing or a woe. He's talking about the way things are. He's talking about physical, tangible conditions. And think for a minute, if we let the Sermon on the Plain be a game changer, a nation changer, a world changer. Because surely, I don't know about you, but I don't think the world looks like the picture of the kingdom of God that Jesus paints here, does it? Blessed are the poor. Wait a minute, Jesus. I thought if we were rich, that meant we were favored. Blessed are the hungry. But Jesus, wait a second. I thought that a full table was a sign of your provision, of your favor, a sign that you were blessing us and we're doing the right things. And Jesus, blessed are the weeping. But what about that church sign that says, "Too blessed to be depressed"? What's going on here? And whoa, Jesus, what are you saying? All these woes? Woe to those of us who are rich. Well, okay, I'm not rich. I don't have to worry about that. But wait a minute. Did you know that if a woman made $15,000 last year, that put her in the top 8% of income compared to the rest of the world? And if a guy made $20,000 last year, he was in the top 4%? If a man or woman made $32,000 in 2018, he or she's among the 1% richest people in the world. So wait a minute. Am I on the blessed side here? Or is Jesus saying, "Woe to me"? And if we think about who Jesus is saying is blessed, who Jesus is saying should be given honor, wouldn't that need to change the way that we interact with one another, the way that we think about the world? Have you ever been to a Giant Eagle or somewhere behind a bunch of people in line, and maybe there's a mom or dad using a food access card for the food assistance, and somebody starts to complain that she's buying all the special things, that she's daring to get Kraft cheese instead of Borden, or Pepperidge Farm instead of the Giant Eagle bread, that she's wasting that money? Well, if Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Plain were taken seriously, we wouldn't see those tongue clicks or hear those little nasty comments. The poor would be blessed. The poor would be seen as honored. And the hungry. When I see a guy with a sign that says homeless and hungry standing on the side of the road, if I would truly allow the Sermon on the Plain to change my life, I wouldn't try to pretend that I was changing the car radio station. And I wouldn't be thinking, if I give him money, he'll only use it for alcohol or drugs. If I really allowed the Sermon on the Plain to change my heart and my mind, what a difference it might make. In Toronto and Madrid, there are restaurants, and they feed the homeless and others who are unable to pay. And they feed them just as if they were paying customers. Those who can't pay are able to choose what they would like from the same menu as the paying clientele. The priest who started the restaurant in Madrid said, "I want them to eat with the same dignity as any other customer, and the same quality, the same glasses I want them to use, glasses made of crystal, not plastic, in an atmosphere of friendship and conversation." Can you imagine a world like that, where we would strive like this priest to make sure that those who are hungry aren't only fed, but fed with the recognition that they are blessed children of God? What if? What if we decided as a nation that the Sermon on the Plain was going to be a game changer? Nah, there aren't many sermons like that that have changed the world. Aren't many words. But on a smaller scale, it's different, though, isn't it? Think about the words that have touched you personally. You're going to be a mother when you heard that for the first time. The tissue sample is malignant. We welcome you to the class of 2023 at the University of Pittsburgh. Those words that bring dramatic change in your life. The first time you heard someone say, "I do," or somebody call you mama or dada. Individually, we have been impacted by words that have changed our lives. The first time someone invited you to church, the first time someone shared the story of Jesus Christ with you. One by one, maybe, couldn't our words make an impact to change the world? What if we allowed one by one, with our words, informed by this Sermon on the Plain, to impact others so that we can change who we see as blessed in this world? It wouldn't be easy, and it wouldn't be popular either, and that's why I included this in a sermon series on the hard sayings of Jesus, because we know that it's a sermon like this one and attitudes like this that led to Jesus' arrest, his trial, his death on a cross. It would be hard. But what if all of us, as God's people, as brothers and sisters, one by one, allowed our hearts and minds to be altered by the Sermon on the Plain, no matter how hard? What if we used our words and our actions in our immediate circles? Are we brave enough to find out? Would I be brave enough to maybe say to that person grumbling about the woman who's purchasing premium brand cookies for her child? Would I be brave enough to challenge that person? Would I be brave enough to engage in a conversation with somebody who tells a racist or a sexist joke that maybe they could talk with me about that and why they think that's acceptable? Would we be brave enough, would I be brave enough to live out my life as someone who lives by these words of Jesus, these controversial words that led to his death? My dad died a few years ago, and I moved back in with my mom to care for her. And she experienced a stroke several years ago. And have you ever seen The Golden Girls? Remember that show? And you remember Sophia? And the storyline was that Sophia, Bea Arthur's mom, her stroke had taken away from her the part that gave her a filter. Well, that happened to my mom. And so my mom has no filter at all. And that can be good and bad. And she says what she wants. When she thinks it, she says it. And mostly it's to men and how good-looking they are, and so I'm glad she's not like in a job situation where she could, you know, have a lot of complaints about harassment issues, because she's very easy to go up to a man and say, hey, good-looking, so that's my mom. But sometimes it does cause bigger concerns, because in our apartment building, everybody in our building is on board with the current political administration. And they really support the administration's decisions. And so they often congregate in the hallway, and they'll talk about it, and they'll praise like the new immigration policy, or they'll praise a more restrictive LGBTQ law or policy or statement, that kind of thing. And they'll get very animated about it and excited. And so my 76-year-old mother, with her cane, will hobble on out to the hallway, and she'll start yelling at him. She'll start giving him the what for, you know? She'll just tell him right then and there, and it scares me. And I think about, my goodness, Mom, what happened when the guy who could bench press you with one arm, you know, he's 40 years younger than you are, when you're out there just engaging these people, can you tone it down, I say to my mom. And finally, one day, my mom said to me, My mom's pretty cynical when it comes to organized religion. But she said, well, you're a minister. You've read the words of Jesus. You know what he says about loving people and treating people right. You're the one who should be out there talking to them. You should be telling them. And I have yet to do that, I admit. I'm not brave enough yet. A lot of the things that Pastor Tim talked about this summer, I'm not brave enough to do them every day. Maybe sometimes I'm brave enough. But I was thinking, all summer, we've been challenged by the words of Jesus. And we've been challenged as a group, as a community. And I was thinking that when Jesus sent out his disciples, he did in groups, he did two by two. And he told them that the Holy Spirit was going to be there with them. He said, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I've ever told you. So they're not going alone. And that means we're not going alone either. And in that same chapter, he said that we will do greater things through our faith in him. So as much as these words of today and the past several weeks of every day, these words of Jesus are hard, we're not alone in our challenge to go out there and make them true. We have one another, and most importantly, we have a God who made us and showed us how to love and loves us still and equips us to follow these hard words for the good of all of God's people. For indeed, all things are possible with God. Please pray with me. Gracious Lord, help us to be brave. Help us to open our hearts to the things you call us to do. Help us to discern what those things are. And help us in all things to love, 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 and then love some more. In Christ's name, amen. As we sing our final hymn this morning, Fairest Lord Jesus, if you have made a decision and that has come to cause you to want to come forward and make North Hills Community Baptist Church,